Welcome to the Investing in Real Estate podcast with Clayton Morris. I am Natalie Morris, and I introduce to you Clayton Morris. Say hello, Clayton Morris.
Hey, thanks so much for the introduction, my lovely
You're
wife.
You're welcome. We're so glad you joined us today. I am sort of an occasional co-host on this show. So when you hear me and you hear my voice, if you're one of our normal listeners, you know, oh no, they're going to start to talk about something motivational.
<That's> or their family and how to structure their business.
Organizational or motivational. That's kind of my role. I'm the Tony Robbins of our family.
Right.
I inspire and I count the beans.
Well, you know, we invest in real estate. That's the focus of the show. We buy and hold real estate for the purposes of creating passive income so that we can live off of the income now, not in retirement. That's the whole goal. And there's a lot of structure that goes into building that passive income. And so Natalie is really responsible, I don't want to say really behind the scenes with structuring. You know, how does the LLC hold our properties? Does it funnel it up to a holding company? You know, what about taxes? And how do we handle the checking accounts and business checking accounts? All of that, though, is important. But unless you have like a straightforward approach, a real mission statement for your family, then a lot of that can get lost and really be meaningless. It's almost like running a business without having a mission statement.
Right.
You know, like the mission statement of Morris Invest, right? It's that, you know, we're a turnkey real estate provider. We take the pain out of real estate investing, you know? So it's a done for you, totally done for you service. And
it's do no evil, right?
Do no, yeah, like at Google, right? Do no evil. But, you know, you try to live up to that mission statement every day. That's the goal. And so that's what we wanted to talk about today on the show is building a family mission statement. So what does that mean?
Okay, so I know it sounds kind of kooky, but I was reading this book, which I think we've talked about a couple of times on the podcast, called Entrusted: Building a Legacy That Lasts. And what I wanted to learn was how to structure our family's wealth so that we have a solid trust that all of our assets are in, how to structure that trust so that our kids can get to that money in the way in which we want them to, and how to sort of, it was estate planning. This is a book about estate planning. And I thought, okay, this sounds kind of boring, but the authors are our lawyers. So, you know, I'd like to do this really well because, man, they ask you some hard questions and I am not a lawyer, so I don't understand half of those questions. So I thought, okay, I'll read the book.
Give us an example of those questions. We were on the phone together for like an hour during one of our sessions as we were building the family trust with these attorneys. And they asked us a lot of like, well, if you know you aren't available, who in your family would you entrust to do this? What about this? Like, there's a lot of really, you don't think about them. And most people never set these things up. And then your house ends up going into probate and it becomes a nightmare for your family.
Right. Do you want your siblings, if something were to happen to you and then something were to happen to all of your heirs, do you want your siblings to share the remainder of your wealth equally, or do you want one to have more than the other? Do you want your one sibling, do you want the same person to be in charge of your trust, your financial trust, as the is in charge of, say, raising your kids? Like if something were to happen to us, a different person would get custody of our kids than would administer our trusts, because we trust people differently in our lives. Do you want the same person who has control of your money to have power of attorney for your medical decisions in the event something to happen to you? And for us, again, those are two different people. That's actually pretty common, I think. So these are hard decisions that you have to make. And I wanted to understand, like, what is the implication of those things? What are the different vehicles that we can put our money into, this kind of trust versus this kind of trust, and which state should we have our trust in, and all of that stuff, right? Should we own these LLCs that go into this, they call it like a pour over trust. So you can put specific assets in specific LLCs and that LLC is owned by the trust. But then say we buy a new asset that's not in an LLC properly, and then we get hit by a bus and die. That is called a pour over trust. So anything that you have sort of acquired that wasn't properly put in a nice place gets poured into that trust, and you want that to be, so it's a lot, right?
Right.
So I picked up this book thinking, okay, this is going to be wonky and maybe a little boring, but I'm going to do it. And what I didn't realize when I open the book is that this is not just about estate planning, although you can learn that from this book, but it was a lot about holistic wealth planning, because these authors define wealth as not just money or assets. They think that wealth is a combination of wisdom, values, life experiences, and the resulting assets from you. What makes you special? What do you know? What have you learned? And you probably have a lot more wealth, if you define it that way, than you think. And I think that that's so beautiful. And so they ask you to do this exercise where you write out your family mission statement, because it helps you to pass down your wealth with your own knowledge. But also, it sort of helps that if someone were, say, administering your trust, they could read this mission statement. And if there's any gray area where they have to make decisions, then they'll know what are the values with which you set out this trust, and then they can make decisions with those values. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. So how would we, what's sort of a step-by-step process that we could use to set up our family mission statement?
Well, you start to sort of, they ask you to go through this worksheet, and the worksheet asks you questions such as, what are your values about health? What are your values about, what are some books that inspire you? What's important to you that you want your kids to know? Like if you really like make every decision by the Bible, you should write that out. If you, let's see, believe that, you know, health is something that you should put at the forefront of your daily regime, because, you know, poor health has affected you in a way that you don't want it to affect your descendants, you should write that out. What are the hardest tasks in the world? What are some intellectual pursuits that you think are really important? Some other questions, what kind of travel has inspired you? What do you do to further your emotional fitness? There's a whole worksheet that you go through, and it asks you questions about character and spirituality and health and values and books, your love relationship. What have you learned, and what do you want your children to know about love and personal relationships, parenting? Let's see, I'm going through this worksheet now. Social life. Is that important to you? Let's see. Financial life, right? How have you gained what you've gained, and what has that taught you? Career, and how have you informed the decisions in your career? And then overall quality of life. Now, this is a 13-page questionnaire, and I didn't go through and actually write it all out, but I read through these questions, and then I meditated on it for a while, and I thought about the things that you and I talk about that are important to us, that I thought, okay, if we weren't here, would someone be able to read this and understand our values, and then make a decision, say, if we weren't around and one of our kids said, I'd like to, I don't know, spend all the money in my trust on a big lavish wedding in the Hamptons, like the Great Gatsby style party, then our trustees would know that's not consistent with what your parents thought money was for, and they would disallow that.
Right. I'd like to put the kibosh in those big weddings right now.
Yeah, I actually, you know, Clayton and I, we got married on a Wednesday at City Hall. And I'm going to tell you this, I never, ever, ever, ever regret not having a wedding. Never. And also, I don't wear a diamond, and I never regret not having that diamond. And those things are not consistent with what we think brings us joy in life. And so if my kid wanted to buy like a Harry Winston diamond with all of our money, I would really have a problem with that. I think that they should work for it themselves.
To be clear, hopefully people don't think I'm cheap and I just didn't buy you a diamond. It's that you really told me you didn't want one.
No, I didn't. And I have a simple wedding band that I love, and I love what that says about me in terms of austerity. And, that's how I express myself. And if you think a diamond is how you need to express yourself, that's fine. But I don't want that to come through the money that we have earned.
Right.
They're not my ethics.
I'd rather my kids, you know, buy a rental property rather than spend $40,000 on a wedding, right? Take $40,000 and buy a cash flowing asset perhaps. But anyway, when we come back, we're going to take a little quick break here. But when we come back, I want to talk about our family mission statement, how we laid it out. And I think that maybe could help other people work on their mission statement. Sound like a plan?
Yeah. Where are we going?
We're going to take a break and thank this week's sponsor of the podcast. And it's our good friends at Drobo. Now, for those of you who are new to Drobo, oh, you are in for a treat. Most people have their computer and that's their only means of backing up anything, right? You have your main computer and or your laptop. Your all of your family pictures, all of your family documents are on that one computer. Oh, no, 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 no. That's where the power of a Drobo comes in. Drobo.com. It is ultimate backup for everything in your life. It's simple. It's safe. It's smart. It is the world's first self-managing USB storage solution. So it looks like a black box, right? You, Natalie and I have used Drobos for many, many years. You plug them into, you can either plug them into your home, you know, router, your Wi-Fi network. So it's there as a storage solution. It has multiple hard drives in it. So basically you can keep all your photos, your family documents, all those important files on the Drobo. Now, what happens if one of those five or six different drives crashes or dies? It doesn't matter. You swap it out and all of your data is safe. It's spread across those other hard drives. So it's not on your computer, which can crash, right? So if your computer dies, you're done. Having your stuff on a backup solution like the Drobo is a really smart solution. Like, what do we have on ours? Like family photos?
Yeah. And I think beyond just safety, it's really great for family collaboration because it's a shared drive, just like when you're at your office and you tell your coworker, hey, put that document in whatever this shared drive, right? So we have one in our house as well. And yeah, it's great because we can share things like, you know, if we both go on a trip and we both have photos from this trip, I say put it in the shared drive and then I can use it to make a book or, you know, that way our shared photos are in one place rather than just what you take on your camera and what I take on my camera.
Right. So she'll say, have you put those pictures on the Drobo yet?
Which you haven't.
I know. I need to edit those Scotland pictures. Okay. So I will. But I'll put those on the Drobo. So inside every Drobo is revolutionary storage technology. It protects data against a hard disk crash. It's simple enough, though, for anyone to use. You can be set up in just minutes. When you fire up, when it comes and arrives, you unplug it or you plug it in, fire it up. You download the software on your PC or your Mac, and instantly you'll see how much capacity you have. You have multiple terabytes of available storage space. It doesn't matter. Throw all of your data on it. Save it. Make sure you're safe. Check out the Drobo and the brand new Drobo 5C, which is the world's first USB-C storage solution because we're moving towards USB-C. That's where all these computers are moving. You know, say goodbye to USB-A, which is that like larger USB. Gone, gone. USB-C is the future, and the new Drobo 5C is the perfect solution for you if you're running a small business or just your family. Like Natalie, we do both. We have a business and we manage our family. Thanks, Drobo. Drobo.com, Drobo.com, and tell them we sent you. Okay, great. So let's talk about our family mission statement. So we sat down, we poured a glass of wine, and we went over our family mission statement, sort of based on all of those things, those criteria that you were talking about. How did we put this together? How complex is it? How difficult was it for us to do this?
You know, I wanted to keep it relatively short, just like a business mission statement should just be a few paragraphs. I wanted it to be aspirational, but I wanted it to pass down the ideals that we really worked hard to build legacy for our ancestors so that, say, I never get to meet my grandchildren. If they were to read this, they would know how important it was that we had something to leave them. I wanted them to understand that we believe that wealth comes from personal connections, that having someone to love and take care of and love you in life is more important than anything else, because I've had plenty of career success and have been alone. And, you know, there's real pain in that if you don't have personal connections in your life, there's a lot of data about that you don't have real wealth. And I wanted, you know, to convey that these are the things that, you know, your grandfather or your father and I, depending who has read this, these are the things we talk about a lot, We study them, we read them, and we try to make sure that these values inform our decisions. Those are the things that we sort of wrote out, and I published it on my Medium account. I also intend to publish it on my own blog too, at nataliemorris.com, but I don't have a graphic for it yet. So stay tuned for that. But you can read it if you'd like. I don't know if I should read it verbatim.
Why? Do you think it's a little hokey?
It's not that I think it's hokey. It's just, I don't know, who wants to hear someone just like read something?
I think it could be helpful to people, right? Like a framework that, you know, I mean, it's like, you know, you ever go on like online and see like, here's how to write the perfect cover letter.
You know, I guess for a resume. If you've gotten this far in the podcast, you might want to hear it.
Like, well, I think it's so important because
why don't you read it?
Well, I don't have it. Can you send it to me? I'll read it.
I'll read it. Fine.
All right, go ahead and read it.
Okay, I'm going to read it. This is the Morris Family Mission Statement. Okay, I feel a little silly about it. I don't know why.
We don't hold anything back.
We don't hold
anything back on this podcast. It's true. Okay. Just go ahead. We talk about our pain. We talk about our mistakes, and we talk about our family mission statement. Read it.
Okay. We take great pride in being the Morris family. We have spent the majority of our time and energy in creating a legacy of love, health, and wealth for our children and their children to come. We never stop learning to grow in those tenets, love, health, and wealth, and we hope that our descendants value those things in that order and learn to pursue them with meaning and passion. We believe that happiness is made from loving human connections and the pursuit of meaningful goals. We believe that each person assigns meaning differently in their life and that freedom is the ability to pursue your own meaning markers. We hope that each of our descendants can dream up and chase their own goals, knowing that happiness lies in every step, not in the end result. We believe that wealth follows passion. We believe that career is amplified when you can see your contribution to making the world better. We believe that human race grows with each of us. I'm sorry. We believe the human race grows when each of us makes our decisions out of love and courage, not obligation and fear. We believe that a strong family and support group help to make those decisions a lot easier. We create this trust to help our descendants pursue their own paths. We do not want to pave that path for them, only to influence it with the life lessons we have learned. We believe in our children. They have been our greatest gift in life. We want to serve as proud ancestors as they pursue their own personal legends. And then I end with a quote from Paulo Coelho from The Alchemist. When we love, we always strive to become better than we are. When we strive to become better than we are, everything around us becomes better too.
That's great. That's a family I'd like to be a part of. Yeah, good job.
I applaud myself.
So there you go. I think that's a good framework. You know, you can see like our guiding principles are not around greed and, you know, we want to help other people and that's a good way to live. Right. So that's a good framework, I think, for people to put in place. You know, I think about this a lot when I talk to investors because a lot of times they kind of come from a place of just wanting a change in their life, but they really haven't thought through the why. They just kind of know that they do, but they really haven't thought through, like, why do I want to create wealth? Why do I want to, you know, create passive income? Is it out of greed or is it because I want to spend more time with my family? I don't want to drive 2 hours, you know, one hour on my way to work and 1 hour back every day. Do I have a lot of debt I need to pay? What are those things?
Or sometimes, you know, maybe real estate is not your passion, but you want to facilitate your other passion. Maybe you're an artist and you want to get a painting career off the ground, and you think that having passive income will allow you the freedom to do that, right? Like your own meaning markers are yours and yours alone. And so, you know, what I wanted to say by this, you know, we believe that you create your own meaning markers and we don't want to pave your path. We want to influence it with the life lessons we have learned, meaning we know how to create passive income. We hope that sort of is your intention too. And then what you do with that financial freedom is up to you.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So I think this is a really powerful message for people to put in place as you begin to think about because we have a lot of listeners who, you know, are setting up multiple LLCs and buying multiple properties, and they're setting up holding companies for those LLCs, and they're taking those steps, right? They're getting their taxes in line. They realize, like, wow, we can really save on our taxes by renting, you know, getting rental real estate, and we can really change our lives. Yes, now take it one step further and really think about your overall mission statement for your family. Like, where do you want your family to go? You know, think of it like Game of Thrones style. Like, what do you want your family's name to mean, right? Do you want to be a Lannister?
Like a family crest, right? Yeah, what do you stand for? What do you put on your family crest? If you're a Bolton, you put a flayed man.
Right.
That's important to you.
A dog.
No, that's their family flag, is upside down, right? That's what they want to tell the world that they're all about. So, you know, take your chance to tell the world what you're all about. It seems like kind of a stately thing to do, like, oh, you think your family's so important. And it feels a little self-congratulatory. But if you only ever have one chance to let your descendants know what was important to you, you should take it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So there you go. That's our post-Thanksgiving message about creating a family mission statement. We hope you found this useful. You can check out the show notes. We'll have these links over on our show notes page. Should we include a copy of the of this? And we'll link to it so they can read it on their own. You can go there and check it out. But anyway, head over to morrisinvest.com. Just go to morrisinvest.com and click on morrisinvest.com/episode85. Episode 85. Can you believe we've done 85 episodes of the show?
No.
It's pretty awesome.
Well, so I haven't. I've done about a third of those.
It's always in you
guys, he's working so hard for you. He's always like, I gotta do a podcast. I gotta get, you know, like he's in here. He's working it.
Well, I think of a topic. I'm like, okay, we gotta talk about, you know, 401ks or, you know, rehabbing properties in the winter. Like, all these ideas come into my head because I get these great questions from our listeners. You know, hey, what about this? What about this? So you guys send over great questions. And also want to say thank you for all of your 5-star reviews in iTunes. Thank you so much. Here's one I'll read. Great knowledge and experience gained from this. 5 stars. This one comes from Then Northside 3. Wrote this. Some of the low ratings overlook the gems that Clayton and his wife share. Not only do they share their knowledge, but they also have guests on to share their knowledge, from tax accountants to multi-million dollar developers. Thank you for putting this podcast together and sharing, Clayton. There you go. One suggestion, though, when you and your wife are both on, use a talking stick.
Because we talk over each other?
I think we're pretty good about it. Well, because we both want to clamor in. It's like our dinner conversations. People are like overhearing our dinner conversations when they hear.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we're not in the same room. I think people might think that we're in the same room. We're because of the microphone situation. So I could think that I'm always holding the stick.
Right. Well, you always are.
Shut up.
Right.
I'm talking.
Natalie has a talking stick, a permanent talking stick in her hand as she walks around this house. That's what it's like to be a Morris. The Morris family crest should be a talking stick. That should be our crest.
It should be. Or one of those, like when in radio where it says on air.
Right.
You mean like be quiet because someone's talking.
Right. Well, thank you so much, Northside, for your 5-star review. And we'll thank all of you. And we'll be back here once again next week. We've got actually another episode tomorrow. You don't want to miss tomorrow's episode. We're going to be talking with Cody Hoffline. A lot of you have been asking, you know, how did you get started in real estate investing? Well, I got started with wholesaling properties. And while we don't talk about wholesaling a whole lot on this podcast, tomorrow we're going to talk about it with Cody. He was able to turn wholesaling into his first few rental properties, how he was able to then buy rental properties because of that. So you don't want to miss tomorrow's episode. That's Thursday. We'll have Cody on the show to talk about that. Until next time, everyone, thank you so much for downloading this podcast and taking action to become a real estate investor. Much love to you all, and much love to my wife.
Aw, thank you, darling.
She's got the talking stick. Bye.